Please join me in a prayer for
illumination printed in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your hope to come into the world. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. If you'd like to read along, please turn to page 778 in your pew Bible. See, I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers and their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change you. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have returned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? The word of God for the people of God.
I'll invite all the grown-ups to be seated. If there are children who want to come forward for a special moment, come on down or over. And if you're worshiping online today, you can get a little closer to the screen. We'll wave to you and have a special moment together. Good morning. Glad to see you today. Come on up. Come on down. Whichever direction you want to come from. Glad to see you. You can sit anywhere you like. So one of the things that's important to me is to try and keep my body healthy. So I have a goal that I want to be able to stretch and be able to reach things. And one of my goals is I want to be able to keep touching my toes. Can you touch your toes? I touched my toes at 8:45, and I think I broke my microphone, so I'm not going to do that. Well, oh, you know what? Let's see if I can slide it around my back, because I want you to see me touch my toes, and you can't tell if I do it or not. There, I touched my toes. Yay! And one of the, thank you. Thank you. You understand how hard it can be. Sometimes I need a coach or someone to come along and help me and say, oh, you're not doing that quite right. You need to correct this part. You need a little feedback around that. And so I think about that and how sometimes to get where we want to be, we need people to help us. And we need people to correct us sometimes. Like maybe you have a friend who says, you know, that wasn't a very nice word that you just used. Or maybe you have a teacher who said, you know, it's good if you share your toys. Or maybe your parent tells you, you know, it's important to eat your vegetables. So it's important to listen to people when they tell us things like that. Makes me think about our life with God, that sometimes we need to hear correction. We need God to help show us when we're not doing things quite right or how we could do things better. Because our hope is not just to be able to touch our toes, but to be able to love better and to be able to stretch. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that you will help us grow in our love for you and for other people and for ourselves. Help us to stretch our arms open wide to grow the love in our hearts. And when we need to be reminded or corrected, help us to listen and to learn and always know that there's more that we can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for listening. If you're 3, 4, or 5, or in kindergarten, you can go to Children's Church. Are you 3? Then yay, you get to go to Children's Church.
I'm 3.
And you're 3. I know. I remember when you turned 3. It's a good day. One of the things I loved doing while I was on my renewal leave this fall was reading. I love to read. Almost every night before I go to bed, you'll find me reading a book. And I read all sorts of books. Honestly, most of it was fluff. I'm just going to confess that. You know, books that have a happy ending, mysteries, cozy mysteries, whatever it may be. I read some really good, sort of more robust literature. I read several books to help me in my spiritual life, Henry Nouwen, Cynthia Bourgeau, Barbara Brown Taylor. And then I read one book that I thought might help me do my job a little bit better. It's by Brené Brown. Anybody ever read or listened to Brené Brown? Yeah, lots of Brené Brown friends. B. Brown. She's wonderful. She began her career in the social work field. She's a researcher, a speaker. She really launched into fame after a TED Talk she did on shame. And if you've never seen that TED Talk, I highly recommend it. But in more recent years, she's been giving her attention to organizations, companies, nonprofits, and groups that want to develop a more healthy environment, a more healthy culture in their workplaces. And talking about good communication and feedback and building trust and that sort of thing. So it's an incredible book. I need to read it once a month, I think. But one of the parts she was talking about that I needed to hear the most was the importance of giving and receiving feedback. Good leaders, it's called Dare to Lead, is the name of the book, and good leaders are those who can graciously offer constructive feedback to the people around them. And I am terrible at this, y'all. I find it really difficult to say hard things when I'm sitting one-on-one with someone. I worry about hurting someone's feelings or doing damage that can't be repaired, but she's very clear that this kind of feedback is necessary. Clarity is kindness, she says. If you want someone to get better and learn and grow and improve in what they're doing, they need to have that feedback and correction and work alongside. And so that's one of my commitments going into this new year, is to learn the skills to do that a little better. But if that's important for a company or a nonprofit to do that work, how much more important is it for us in the faith community? Because our end goal in the church is not just to put out a better product or have more happy, more efficient folks who work with us. Our goal is to be a sign of the kingdom of God on earth. Our goal as followers of Jesus is to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And that takes constant work and attention. And it requires feedback from time to time. Sometimes we need correction. Sometimes we need a prophet, a peer, the scriptures, or someone to hold a mirror up to us to see. Sometimes we need to repent. The second Sunday of Advent is often the Sunday when we hear from John the Baptist, who's calling the people to repentance. And that word repentance literally means turning. We need to turn back toward God. And not just once, but again and again and again. If we're going to move toward this goal of what John Wesley would call perfection in love, that's where we're headed, y'all, if you didn't know. We're moving toward complete love. Not perfection, like you never make a mistake, but perfection in love. And so as part of that journey together, John Wesley understood that we needed each other. We needed accountability. We needed regular feedback. And so when his ministry began and he was preaching to thousands of people, he knew that he couldn't just leave town and let them figure it out by themselves. No, he set up small groups, class meetings, where they would meet every week, and talk about how have your practices been? Have you read scripture this week? Have you prayed? Have you done good for the poor or the needy? Have you visited the sick? Have you visited or written letters to the prison? How is it with your soul? I mean, we're comfortable doing that in Weight Watchers, but we're a little less comfortable doing it in the church. Accountability in love is hard, and it's hard for me. As a preacher and a pastor, if I could preach one sermon to the world, it would simply be, God loves you. This unconditional love of God, as I talked about last week, which is always moving toward you, always moving toward us, always reaching out in love to embrace the world. But if my preaching stopped at that, if our message stopped at that, it would be incomplete. Because what remains is our response to that love. God pours out mercy and grace and love toward us. And if we simply took it and went off and did whatever we wanted to without any accountability, it would be what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called cheap grace. It's just a transaction, and God is just a vending machine to give us what we want. But we are invited in the life of faith to accountability, to respond to that love, to allow God's radical grace to change us. And it takes a lifetime. So we have one example in the prophet Malachi this morning of a moment when, on behalf of the Lord, the prophet speaks a word of accountability. He speaks a hard truth to the people. Let me tell you a little bit about where we are in Israel's history. No one's quite sure when the book of Malachi was written, but most of the consensus is that it was written at a time after the Israelites had been conquered by the Babylonians, temple destroyed, Jerusalem in rubble, but the Persians beat the Babylonians and decided to allow the Jews to return to their homeland. And so this is a time of rebuilding. The exiles are returning, the temple's being rebuilt, and yet the people still feel forsaken by God. They look at all the other countries around them, especially Edom, and they see them thriving, and they cry out to God, "You have not been faithful to your covenant. You've turned your back on us. You've forsaken us. Where are you?" One commentary I read suggested that Malachi is almost like a courtroom drama, where the people are putting God on trial. So when the book of Malachi begins, let's imagine the people have rested their case, and now it's God's turn. Oh boy, be ready. I just imagine in my head this picture of God standing up from the table, rolling up the sleeves, saying, "Okay, now it's my turn. Let me tell you my side of the story." But where God begins, the very first thing God says in the book of Malachi, "I have never stopped loving you. I have loved you." And that Hebrew can be translated, "And I love you still, and I will always love you. My love and faithfulness is not on trial, is not in question. I have always loved you. But you have not always followed me." In the words that Connor read, God says, "I have not changed, but from the very beginning you have not obeyed my statutes. You have not walked in my way. You have chosen to worship other gods or follow other political leaders or do all of these other things. But if you will return to me, I will return to you." And all of these hard words that God says through the lips of the prophet are all spoken in love, with the ultimate desire and the ultimate goal to be embraced again, to start over and be fresh and move closer toward that love that is perfect. And there's a beautiful image that the prophet speaks from the word of the Lord. The messenger is coming, and as Christians, we read through this and we see visions of John the Baptist. We see visions of Jesus turning over the tables in the temple. The prophet says, "He will come like a refiner's fire and fuller soap, and he will sit and polish you like silver and gold." fire. Fuller soap is like lye soap. I don't know if any of you have ever been washed with lye soap. Anybody? I haven't, but I hear it stings a lot. It's kind of like you skin your knee on the playground and the nurse, school nurse puts on that orange iodine stuff. Ow, it hurts. It hurts, but it heals. It hurts, but it's what's best for us. And so this refiner's fire is not a fire to destroy. And the fuller soap is not to be washed in order to ruin or condemn, but to purify and to bring back that clear image of God in which we are created. And Malachi says God will sit. God will sit down and take God's time polishing us and working on us, changing us and transforming us. And sometimes that can be painful. That hard feedback can hurt. But it's for the sake of love. And it's not just once. It's not just that we turn to God, we repent, and then that's it. That's the end of the story. It is an ongoing daily process of refining and learning and being corrected. Father Richard Rohr, who is another writer whom I love, says that he prays every day for one good humiliation. How open are we to hearing that feedback from other believers that we walk alongside, from the scriptures, from our prayers? I worry that we're in a moment right now in our culture when, especially among Christians, we get hardened and we can be so defensive. We feel like it's more important to be right than to be loving. And so we stop allowing ourselves to be challenged and stretched and to grow. And sometimes that growth and that stretching hurts. We got to let go of things we thought we knew. But that's the invitation that comes to us on this second Sunday of Advent, to stay open, to be willing to say, I could be wrong, to allow the voice of the prophet and the Holy Spirit to keep working on us and refining us, moving us toward perfection in love. It's a long journey, and there's not a day that's going to arrive when we can say, I've made it, I'm finished. The work is never finished. But the work, the feedback, the invitation is all given to us in love. Thanks be to God.